Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch. John engineering and producing the show, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, December the 8th, 2020, the 40-year anniversary of the assassination of John Lennon 40 years ago today. Anyway, we bring folks together right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com, the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to our conversation with the new Arizona House of Representatives Minority Whip, Democrat Domingo de Grazia, an attorney and noted recording artist who just was reelected to a second two-year term representing Tucson's District 10. Representative, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, congratulations on your reelection and now into a leadership role. Exactly what does the minority whip do? Why don't we begin there?
Well, thanks. The minority whip, or I guess the whip in either chamber, works with both the leader and the assistant leader. The whip is generally responsible for keeping in contact with all the members, making sure that their bills are getting to the proper places so they can be filed, and just to see if they need anything. In the initial stages, there's a lot of administrative work for offices and things of that nature, but as we get into session, I'll be working with members to make sure that their bills get to the right chair people or leaders of our party so that they can be pushed up as far as priorities. So there's just a lot of keeping in communications with the members.
I understand the legislature is now closed for a week because of COVID-19 exposures shortly after Rudy Giuliani met with several Republican lawmakers in his quest to overturn President Trump's election loss. So what was going on that needed to be canceled, Domingo?
Well, we've seen an overall spike in COVID-19 cases in Arizona, such that it's the highest daily numbers that we've seen since this pandemic began. That coupled with the Republican members that were meeting with Mr. Giuliani, and then that potential exposure, they were at the House of Representatives and at the Senate, so it was prudent for both the leaders of the House and the Senate to shut down for a week to assess where we are and hopefully get some folks tested.
Were any of the members wearing masks at the time, do you recall?
Well, so you have two separate events that were going on. The first was the meeting with Mr. Giuliani, and I didn't attend that. I didn't watch any of it, but I understand there were members of both the Arizona House and the Arizona Senate that met with him at that event or private in private that were not wearing masks. And there were some of the new members to the Arizona House that were going through orientation last week that were also not wearing masks, even though there's been some pretty robust discussion about what needs to happen, what safety protocols need to be in place. There was simply no enforcement of the mask mandates. So all of that brings us to the point where it's the best course of action to keep everyone safe to just shut down for a week.
What will the procedure be? What are you hearing, Representative, as far as this session? Will it be a virtual session? Give our listeners a little idea of what's being talked about.
Well, so the discussions that we have within the House Democrats are based on the science and data we have in keeping everyone safe, and we certainly have the technology to have virtual sessions. Some of your listeners probably saw that last week I was on a virtual committee, an ad hoc committee, that was both the House and the Senate, so it was joint, and we had speakers come on. Everyone was completely virtual, and it went off almost flawlessly. There were some folks that were in person and some that were remote, and it was just fine. So we know we have that technology, and we have the ability to make sure that the voice of Arizonans, their constitutional right to be heard in the process, we can certainly protect that while being completely remote. Now, I don't know what the Republicans are planning. They are the majority in both the House and the Senate, so the decision is up to them if we have to go back in person or if we conduct some type of a hybrid in-person and virtual types of hearings. But the most important things are that we conduct our business and that Arizonans are part of the process, that their the voice of every constituent is heard if they want to be. And then we have to keep our members and staff safe. You know, the staff is working down there with all 90 members. And if we expose them inadvertently to COVID-19, it would just be a terrible situation that we can completely avoid. So I'm hopeful that the leadership will follow the science, follow the data, and make the right public health decision.
With us on the live line is Arizona House of Representatives Minority Whip, Democrat Domingo DeGrazia of Tucson. So much on this agenda. Obviously, COVID-19 relief, I guess, is at the top of the agenda, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. COVID-19 has been touching everything from just our health and safety to our economy to schools. There is I don't know if there's a sector of Arizona that's not been touched by COVID-19, so it is going to be front and center, yes.
What kind of relief could be coming? I mean, we do have this rainy day fund. It's close to $1 billion. I think it's close to $1 billion. Could some relief come from that?
Well, that would depend on the political will of the legislature and the governor. Remember that the rainy day fund is in place, theoretically, for a rainy day, except that we're seeing a spike in evictions. A lot of folks are out of work. A lot of families are struggling. So one would theorize that the rainy day fund would be used to compensate those individuals, not compensate, but just to help them out, to provide them the support they need until we get to a place where we can fully reopen Arizona, except that that has just not been the action of the governor up to this point. So we have quite a bit of work to do to make sure that Arizonans are safe and healthy, that the kids in Arizona are protected and can go back to school, that our workers are safe. It's going to be a really, really fascinating session, and a lot of Arizonans are struggling, so we have to get to it as quick as we can.
How will the state's money picture look? What will the financial picture look with this budget?
Projections from the Joint Legislative Budget Committee, the JLBC, at this point are looking all right. There was there were fears of a projected shortfall that seems to have ameliorated. But what we don't yet know is the continued fallout, especially in the housing sector. When December 31st hits and the evictions are allowed to go forward, there are going to be a lot of families that are going to be looking for homes. That negatively impacts the builder and mortgage holder segment, and that will necessarily have an effect on the taxes paid in the next 6, 12, 18 months. So we're going to be keeping an eye on that pretty closely. Arizona's looking okay because we do have our rainy day fund. We don't yet know if there's going to be more federal funding that will be available later on.
And again, getting back to the opening of the session, which is about a month away, it's hard to believe, but, 4 or 5 weeks, the governor is going to be delivering the state of the state. And have we heard, we don't know if this is going to be a virtual address or whether you all will be in the chambers. Is that correct?
You know, that's correct. We just don't know. We know what the public health experts are saying. We know what our hospital staff and our doctors are saying about the best ways to conduct ourselves, and that would be, obviously, that would be virtual. But there's a lot of derision in politics these days, a lot of folks that just simply want to believe what they want to believe, and they take positions based on that that are generally contrary to what health and safety demands. So at this point, I have no idea. I've not heard from the governor what he wants to do, and so I think we're all just waiting. There's been some discussion about having the opening in some type of a large public space that's outdoor, but at this point, nothing has been said for sure.
All right. Again, congratulations, Domingo DeGrazia, on the leadership position, House of Representatives Minority Whip on the Democratic side, and we wish you all the best. We'll be checking in with you as this very important session begins very shortly. Thank you, Domingo, and a very happy holidays to you and your wonderful family.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me on, and happy holidays.
Thanks a lot. All right. The Buckmaster Show, reminding folks that I don't have to remind you, I guess, that Christmas is only 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks away. Yep. Hard to believe. So Mona's Danish Bakery is taking in your order right now for pies. What kind of a dinner rolls would you like? The Danish Kringle, which is an outstanding, just screams of the holidays, really. Have that on your Christmas morning or Christmas Eve morning or the day after Christmas, which is traditionally known as Boxing Day in some parts of the world, the British-speaking part of the world. Check it out. Swan and Sunrise, northeast corner. They're open right now for lunch. Again, their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Put in your order for your holiday goodies, including all of the cookies. They've got them available right now. You can walk in and grab a wonderful box of assorted Christmas cookies. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line interviews, courtesy Rincon Venture Real Estate and Property Management. Shelley Fishman is coming up next, and Shelley's with me in studio, and he just gave me a rather, not a big thumbs up, but a thumbs up nonetheless. We'll take it. Be right back.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Family-owned JAM Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants are collecting food this month for the Community Food Bank with $5 off your meal when you bring in 5 cans for the food bank. That's all at the 3 JAM-owned restaurants, the 2 locations of Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare in Oro Valley. Also, each restaurant is doing a gift card promotion this month. Buy $100, get a $25 gift card. Good deal. Happy holidays from JAM Culinary Concepts.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
I'm going to contact Shelley Fishman right now in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The market started out today rather lackluster, picked up a little steam.
Yeah, it's going in the right direction. We're up about 138 points right now on the
Dow.
Very
good.
So there's confidence, I think, that there's going to be a stimulus, albeit a smaller one than people originally anticipated. And there's a general consensus that without such a stimulus, the economy is in deep trouble.
The jobless numbers were not very encouraging on Friday.
You know, the number, the unemployment number actually came down 0.2%. But built into that number were a couple of gotchas. One was that the participation rate had come down. As a result, that brought the overall unemployment number down. But the total number of people unemployed actually did not come down very much. And the number of new jobs that were filled during the month of November was actually, for the fifth month in a row, less than the prior month. So in round numbers, in the month of February and March, we lost about 20 million jobs. We now are down about 10 million jobs. So we're about halfway back. And I think most people anticipated, or at least the optimists among us anticipated, that we'd be doing a little bit better than that by now. The other gotcha in the number, Bill, is that those numbers only contain actuals for the first 2 weeks in November. The second 2 weeks are kind of a calculation based upon the first 2 weeks and what we know about what happened to the economy. As a result, those numbers are probably even more optimistic or less pessimistic than they really are. What we'll see in December will show the real numbers for the rest of November. And that's important because this resurgence of the pandemic really occurred throughout the month of November and keeps getting worse.
Shelley, as we wrap up this year, are there any things we should keep in mind regarding retirement plans?
Yeah, so this is kind of a normal discussion. End of year, mm-hmm. you want to sit down with your financial planner and take a look at where it might be possible to take some profits off the table, where it might be possible to cash in some losses if you have them. In most years, when the markets are up and the markets are down, it's across the board. But this has been a very strange year, Bill. And so we have certain segments of the market that are up and certain segments of the market that are down. So if you have a well-diversified portfolio, it's likely that you know you can harvest some losses to overcome some taxable events and take some profits if that's what you know you and your advisor decide to do. The other thing is that the rules have changed this year. As you mentioned, the rules for IRAs and for 401ks for both contributions and withdrawals have changed. And unless you've had a meeting with your planner, you may not realize that if you're gainfully employed as a salaried employee, even at age 72 or 73 or 74, where you could not contribute to your IRA prior to the rule changes, you can now.
That's for this tax year.
That's for this tax year, exactly. In addition, the rules for when you have to take the money out, when you have to begin to take the money out of your IRA have changed as well. Used to be at age 70 and a half. Now, in general terms, it's at age 72. So you can maintain that tax-preferred status of those retirement funds a little bit longer than you could before. And that's the good news. The bad news is that for people who are not the married spouse of somebody who may have died, the rules used to be that you could, if you elected to, if you inherited that IRA, you could then stretch the payments out for the rest of your life. Can't do that anymore. Now you have to take those payments over 10 years.
And with COVID-19, there are some provisions in the CARES Act that could really be important to people.
Exactly. Everything I just said is off the table for this year,
right?
Because of the special rules that were put in place in the CARES Act, some of which depended upon some IRS letters that had not yet been written, but were decisions the IRS could make during the course of the year. So, normally I say, if you do your taxes, God bless, that's just great. This is not a good year to do your own taxes.
No, it isn't.
There are so many changes and so many kind of zigs and zags that I really do recommend for anybody who might have investments, who might be curious about the changes in the rules. This is the year to get professional advice.
Yeah, you need to consult with a professional before you take any action.
Absolutely. There are just so many things that may or may not apply to you that may be beneficial in the short term, but not in the long term. This is the time to really have a strategic discussion about your finances. If you think that any of these things, could apply to you and might be beneficial to your overall financial picture.
We'll be talking with Michael C. Flowers, who is our certified public accountant, next week on the show, and we'll bring up, kind of get an update on what he advises at this point. So, Shelley, as we wrap up the year and we've only have a couple more weeks left in the year, when all is said and done, it will turn out to be almost an average year.
Yeah, and maybe
which
a tiny
is
bit
weird
better
to even say it.
Yeah, I mean, the market seems to be securely over the Dow. Securely over the 30,000 mark. We're about 30,200. We don't know what's going to happen between now and then, Bill, if the Congress decides to go on vacation and not do anything. I think the market will take a little bit of a hit. But if it stays in the current range where it is today, we'll see the S&P and the Dow at around 12 or 13% for the year, which is a little higher than the straight line average, but certainly better than we might have expected a few months ago. The NASDAQ has just done fabulously during the year. I mean, this is one of those cases where you have some stocks in certain segments of the market that have just benefited from this pandemic tremendously.
Amazon is just...
Exactly.
Yeah, zooming...
Yeah, and some that have not done well. So if you have hotel stocks,
right,
or some transportation stocks, those have not done well. So this is the time to say, well, where can I take some losses? Where can I take some gain to offset some gains and maybe cash in some of those profits and avoid the taxes on those gains?
We haven't talked about the bond market this year.
Right, we
haven't.
Has
it performed in a normal year or
it,
what?
It pretty much has. What we're seeing in the bond market is that it has tended to be fairly optimistic even during the times that stocks were optimistic.
Right.
So we haven't seen that seesaw approach too much. And for those people who are invested in riskier bonds or bond funds that track riskier or longer term bond investments, they've done pretty well so far this year.
And bonds are used as a stopgap when people, just as a balance, you mentioned seesaw, the bond kind of counters the equities.
Right. So bonds really have two uses generally. One is they provide the more conservative, less volatile part of your portfolio. So if you're older and getting ready to retire or in retirement, you want to be more heavily invested in bonds simply because, unless you're very, very wealthy, you really don't want to risk all that volatility. The other use of bonds is to stabilize income at a time when you might need income and don't necessarily want to cash in other portfolio investments. So bonds are a good way for people to, you know, balance some high risk and lower risk income investments such that they know exactly or pretty much exactly every month what their income is going to be. And they know how much of it can be taxable and how much of it may be in municipal investments that won't be taxable. And so as you get older and you want less and less risk in your portfolio, using bonds as a way to kind of balance things out and make things more secure is a very well-established strategy.
All right, Shelley, it's always a pleasure having you on the program, and it's a good time to do a health checkup, financial health checkup, talk to your advisor about what you should do into the new year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Use a professional. That's what they're there for.
There you go. Shelley, thank you very much.
See you later, Bill.
All right.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. Army has revealed the findings of an independent investigation into a series of sexual assaults, missing soldiers, and murders at Fort Hood, Texas. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy says the results found leadership failed to respond to reports of sex harassment or assault.
This report, without a doubt, will cause the Army to change our culture.
14 officers will be suspended or fired. Pfizer CEO Dr. Albert Bourla on his company's COVID vaccine.
We didn't cut any corners, but we tested this vaccine with the exact same way that we are testing any vaccine.
CBS's Charlie Daggett says the first person received that vaccine.
90-year-old grandmother Maggie Keenan made history.
I say go for it. Go for it because it's free. And it's the best thing that's ever happened. So do, please go for it. That's all I say.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Why not pick up a poinsettia? They grew 25,000 of them this year at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Green Things, 50 years and still growing. Pick up one for a neighbor that might be alone this holiday season, and surprise them. It would cheer up a neighbor, I'm sure. A lot of people being alone this holiday season. Stop by Green Things, pick up a poinsettia or two, and help somebody out to make their holidays a little brighter. It's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Time for our insider travel talk with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, president and chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel, which has been around since 1976. Their travel experts standing by to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, Southern Arizona locations, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good. Good to talk to you again, Bill.
Good to talk with you. Interesting full-page article in today's USA Today about pent-up demand with booking strong for the latter part of 2021. Many folks who like to cruise are ready to sail again despite COVID-19. I wonder if you can kind of update us. What's going on with the travel industry right now, Ryan?
Yeah, at one point in the early part of the summer, so fairly early in the pandemic, the CDC essentially shut down cruising, right? And what happened was the cruise lines got together and put a 74-point protocol in place to try to get back to healthy sailing. And they are continuing to work with the CDC. And we will see with now the impending news of all the distribution of the vaccination, this 74, which now has been expanded beyond that to another 10 to 15 items that the CDC wants to see. We will see cruising return in 2021, but it's not as early as what we had hoped, right? In the summer, we were looking at a restart right around January. It's now looking to kind of start closer to April is when the restart's going to happen. But you cited that article, and that is exactly what's happening, Bill. People are tired of being home. Their dreaming is still happening, and they're booking cruises. But I think our recommendation is falling right in line with the USA Today. Book for the summer, the latter part of 21. And if you're on that fence, 2022, which might seem so far off, is not that far off, especially in vacation planning. But the pent-up demand is there, and the cruise lines have been very, very cognizant of how this pandemic has impacted the industry. We're talking close to $32 billion of devastation from an economic standpoint. So doing it right when we return to sailing, and when I say right, that means a healthy return and mitigating the risk to the very best of everyone's ability. They want to do it right, and I think I would have the confidence in cruising once they I know I would have the confidence in cruising once we can get back out there on the water.
Royal Caribbean had talked about a test cruise, Ryan Hansen. The response to that was just off the charts.
And that is the indicator that people are ready to go. And you're referring to one of the protocols that the CDC has required the cruise lines to go through, which makes perfect sense, is don't just come out to general public cruising on day one of the return to sailing. Put some ships in the water, run a group of people, either employees or others, through all these protocols to see where the gaps are. Find out if there's any misses and make improvements there when you're in it with a smaller sample size of people. A test cruise, like you mentioned, Royal Caribbean put out a somewhat of an all call to the general public cruising audience and said, hey, we may want real passengers to go through this test cruise versus employees that maybe don't act like passengers because you really want to do it right. 150,000 people signed up within the first week to say, I'm ready to go. I want cruising back, and I'll be someone that goes through the protocols to make this right. So that was a great indicator that the cruising audience is excited to get back on ships very soon.
And the hope is that everyone will have a vaccination, the two vaccinations, by the middle of next year. And that would kind of dovetail with the schedule that cruising is looking at. So one would think that perhaps proof of vaccination is going to be one of the keys to getting back on the water.
Yeah, the confluence of events that are going to be happening, like you said, the timing of cruising, getting their protocols in shape alongside the wide distribution of the vaccine. I can say first and foremost, every cruise line will require every crew member to be vaccinated. So that will be a for sure. It's already been declared. They haven't fully determined if a proof of vaccination will be required to be a passenger of a ship. But Bill, I think you're involved in so many more industries widespread. I think it's starting to go that direction, and it may not be the cruise line's decision. It may be the countries and the ports of call that will be visited will be requiring the proof of vaccination. So it might not be to step on the cruise ship or to step on an airplane, but it may be to visit a country. And Bill, you know this, there's many countries that require visas for admittance. If you want to go on an African safari currently, you could go to Kenya without a yellow fever shot. But if you wanted to hop over to Tanzania, you would have to have a yellow fever shot. So even some differences in previous vaccinations from country to country we see, and that's why you want to talk to an advisor from Bon Voyage who can walk you through all those just beyond even what this COVID vaccination will look like. Our staff knows those ins and outs and are on the cutting edge from an information standpoint.
What are your travel consumers telling your consultants they want in the latter part of 2021?
You know, many people are looking for land options that they can control. At least their first vacation would be that home rental or a resort experience to try to keep away from as many people as possible as their first outing. And that's a little bit of a misnomer in the industry that people can do it on their own without a travel advisor expert to lead them along the way. And yes, you can do that on your own. But Bill, you and I both know I can also cut my hair on my own. But we all know what's going to happen with that. You know, I own a pair of scissors. You know, that's going to be butchered. And that's why we seek the advice of experts in many things that are important to us in life. Why would you not seek the advice of an expert, even if you're looking at a hotel, a home rental, or a resort? And that's what most people are looking to do. Stay close to a resort with just their family and then start to expand. As you mentioned, the biggest news in all of this for us, and I think globally, is the vaccination that will get widely distributed in 2021.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time thing. Better days are coming. The itineraries that the cruise lines are putting together for the latter part of 21, and of course, looking at 22, everybody should be up and running by then with really pretty much normal itineraries.
Yeah, we would expect normal itineraries. Some cruise lines have reduced the length of their itineraries to 7 days or less to try to just keep the control factor going. Almost all of the cruise lines have come out and said they will sail with reduced capacity. So they're not going to sail with 4,000 people if it's a maximum 4,000. This is why we love small ship cruising. Bill, you and I talk about small ship and river cruising all the time. Think about being able to mandate and control and mitigate issues and protocols on a river ship with 150 guests versus being on an ocean liner with 4,000. That's also leading the way of the return to travel in 21 is small ship and river ship cruising at a smaller capacity.
What are you doing on these Wednesday virtual travel segments? Are you still doing those every Wednesday?
We sure are. And these, you go to bbtravel.com. It's on our events page, and we're just trying to inspire people to travel. Last week, we talked about cruising to Alaska. Isn't that a great thing for a mm-hmm. Southern Arizona resident? Come, you know, maybe September to go see the wildlife in Alaska when it's still 100 degrees in Tucson. We're also, tomorrow, if you want to join us, we are talking about North American guided vacation travel. The Globus family of brands that do guided vacations here, and there are departures in 2021. They too are reducing capacities where normally they would travel on a bus, a motor coach with 40 people. They're going to be traveling with 20 where you can socially distance, and you've got a guide with you that can help you through all of these different things. They'll know what's open, what's not, what you have to have a mask on, what you don't, have all the sanitizing equipment and et cetera. Don't we all want somebody with us telling us what is open and not? That's what is beautiful about Globus. Join us tomorrow at 3 o'clock. You can just go to our website to sign up.
All right, bvtravel.com for more information about that. Ryan, the very best holiday season to you and your lovely family. We'll talk to you in January. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Ryan Hansen, the Buckmaster Show contributor on travel in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Guests appear on our live line, courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. So much to do, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. It's all right around Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. People planning their trips now for 2021, when New Mexico, and that day is coming soon, will once again be ready to open its doors and welcome again out-of-state visitors. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for all the information about great places to stay and so many activities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over there, only a three-hour drive from the Tucson area. Let's welcome now our arts contributor, the longtime arts writer for the Tucson Weekly, Margaret Regan. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. What can you do this time of year? So much is virtual, but when you think, oh my goodness, Christmas, you think of the Nutcracker.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know if you know, I have a tradition of every year I write about all the many, many Nutcrackers that we have in Tucson. Well, this year that's not happening. But I'm working on a story right now that I found out that some people are coming up with very creative solutions to keep their nutcrackers going in a new form. One of them is an organization called Dance West Dance, Dance West Dance Company. And that's a children's operation, but they have kids all the way up to the age of 18. So what they decided to do was something very ambitious, was to create a video movie of their nutcracker. And, you know, can you imagine that with all the kids and all the restrictions that they have? They told me they used 8 different settings, many of them out of doors, and then each shoot had to be a limited number of people because of the coronavirus. But they did manage to come up with the help of a dad, apparently, whose child goes to the dance studio, and he's an actual filmmaker. He was a huge help, and they made this movie 45 minutes long. And the only way you can see it is to go to a drive-in theater called El Toro Flicks.
What?
Which is, this is not going to be on your computer.
No.
Like all the other things that we've been hearing about, you know, during the pandemic, how people are responding and how they can do art. So this is, the woman in charge told me that there's this new company called El Toro Flicks. They've got 4 drive-in theaters that seem to move around. So this one's going to be over at
the El Mercado.
El Mercado. Yeah. You know, that's a very busy place normally. There's a great big parking lot there, and people are going to drive in, and that's $40 per carload, which she figures, Megan Malthos is the person in charge, she figures that's a good price because you can fill your car with people. And, you know, very often these dance performances are rather pricey. So and it's only going to be one night, Monday, December 21st at 9 p.m., ending in time for people to get going with the curfew that we have right now. So that's a whole different thing.
And that's, again, if people are interested, it's called El Toro Flicks Drive-In Theater at El Mercado on the west side, Monday evening, 9 o'clock, December 21st.
Correct.
So that is a very creative way to put on the Nutcracker.
Yeah, very, very different. And by the way, they told me they're going to have a coupon in the Tucson Weekly. You can get half price, $20 instead of $40. So that makes it even more affordable.
How about Ballet Tucson's Nutcracker?
Okay, well, this is an interesting thing, too. And as I said, I've just started working on this story. I haven't spoken with them yet. But theirs is going to be what we're used to, have gotten used to. You sit at home and look at your computer. But this is going to be called the Virtual Nutcracker Storytime. And Joseph McGrath, who's one of Tucson's great great actors, he's with the Rogue Theater, he's going to be the storyteller. And, you know, for many years, he was actually in Ballet Tucson's Nutcracker, playing Herod Drosselmeyer, if you're familiar with it. That's sort of the older guy that goes around in the black cloak that brings all the magic onto the play, onto the dance. You don't have to be a dancer to do that. Anyway, so he's been very engaged with Ballet Tucson all these years. So he's going to narrate stories, and then we're going to be seeing select footage from their stage production. You know, obviously they've taken videos of their performances over the years. So that should be a fun thing. And that's actually going to be, since you can watch it at home, it starts on December 17th, that's Thursday of next week, but then you can watch it anytime all the way up to New Year's Eve. So that's a way of celebrating it. You're going to see the images, and it might be good for children with this man actually doing storytelling.
And if you do want a live performance, Ballet Tucson's holiday pop-up performance at St. Philip's Plaza, that's during the Farmer's Market. I like the idea that it's a real short performance. It's free, and I guess it's Sunday, December 20th.
Yeah. Now, as far as I know, you know, that's still happening. You know, we always, with everything that's, as
yes.
you know, with our surge, you have to be careful and always recheck, you know, is this really happening? But I did go to one of their other pop-up performances end of November, and it was charming and delightful. That one was at the Botanical Garden. So this is going to be right there at the St. Philip's Plaza. They'll have about 10 dancers. But most importantly, they will have the amazing ballerina, prima ballerina Jenna Johnson at Ballet Tucson. If you've never seen that company, you'll see that she's an extraordinary dancer. And she's going to perform the whole of the Sugar Plum Fairy, which is, you know, the most treasured dance in the Nutcracker. So that would be great. I'm sure they're going to have to provide social distancing. You know, I don't know exactly how it will work because it's free. Free and open to the public, and other people are going to be out there at the farmer's market buying their food. So I guess they have that all figured out. So
it's 11 a.m. and 12 p.m. For the two very short performances, free on Sunday, December 20th. That's at St. Philip's Plaza, the farmer's market.
Yeah.
Real quickly, you'll be writing about the Nutcracker in the Weekly on the 17th, is that correct?
Right, yeah. Right. I'm always working a week ahead, so I'm working on it now, and then that will be in the paper next week, that right before all these things are happening.
We can save this for, get into it a little bit more in our January visit with you at Etherton Gallery. You're going to be taking part in January 19th, a discussion on immigration.
Yeah, well, the current show, and Etherton, you know, has plowed through. They have this beautiful show up right now. I've only seen it virtually so far.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to get over there. Really interesting photographer named Tom Kiefer. He worked as a janitor for the Border Patrol out in Ajo for many years, and he started picking up the trash out of the trash cans, which consisted many of the things tossed away were migrant belongings that the Border Patrol took from them. And since nobody wanted them at that point, you know, he took them home and he made them into these very beautiful, haunting photos of their belongings. He'll have a whole photo maybe of shoes or eyeglasses.
That's going on at Etherton Gallery through February 6th.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bring it up again in your visit with us next month in early January. How's that?
Sure. Yeah, that's great.
All right. Have a wonderful holiday season to you and your lovely family. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you. You too. In this rough times, we'll have a happy Christmas.
I know we will. Thank you very much. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope it goes well for you this Tuesday. We'll be back with you on Wednesday at 12:04 for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of John Couch, Engineering and Producing, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey is next. Have a great afternoon.